Okay, turn your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 37. I want to say this. Isaiah chapter 37 winds up the time of Israel's involvement with Assyria. Now, this is a very important time in Israel's history. It tested the nation. It caused Israel to reflect upon their situation with God. So therefore, it's a time that we should use and see what they did. And we should use that to reflect upon our time with God too. We've got an election coming up shortly. We're seeing a lot of disturbance, civilian disturbance in the country about this election that's coming up. We're seeing riots. We're seeing all kinds of ugliness and activity that are going on. It's wrong, but it is. It's what's happening. So what we need to do is we need to pray for our country. It may get worse. We don't know. But we do need to pray for our country. We need to pray for our leaders. We need to pray for those that will be coming into office after the election. So please keep that in your mind each and every day. I think this country is facing a crossroads in its history. Which way it's going to go, I don't know. But we do need to pray about it. Paul says pray for those in authority. So let's do that. Let's keep that in mind. Chapter 37 winds up the Assyrian issue with Israel. After that, the Babylonians start to raise in power, and they come into focus starting at chapter 38. So at the end of chapter 37, I want to do something special. There's a good friend of mine grew up with. We graduated from high school together. His name is Bill Wade. He became a very high executive in the United States, very influential, wealthy, and powerful man. We grew up as best friends. And he had an incident that happened in his life. His son died at 15 years old, and it really crushed his world. Now, this is a man I'll tell you more about. He wrote a book about, and this book is about his life and the struggle that he had with God after the death of his son, whom he loved dearly. And I went through this time with Bill. And he wrote a book called Facade. And I've been trying to develop a lesson on this about his relationship with God and how it changed through the time after the death of his son. This man is not just an ordinary person. He's got a degree from MIT. He was president of the largest oil company in the United States of America. He's a brilliant man. He still is to this day. But he wrote a book about his trials with God, and I think it's very interesting. So any of you that have lost a loved one close to you, a child, a spouse, or whatever, I think you'd be very interested in hearing his story. So after I get through with chapter 37, I'm going to do a Sunday or two on his story. He also sent me, he and I were talking about this, and I told him I felt like that his story should be told to encourage so many people. He sent me about 15 of his books, so I'm going to give those away to any of you that like to read and would want a very encouraging and interesting book. I will give those away when we have our lesson. So look forward to that. We'll take a little break. Chapter 37, Isaiah. Here's the situation, in case any of you were out. The Assyrians are coming down and threatening the nation of Israel. They sent their general down there, Sennacherib, who is their king. By the way, he's known in history. We've got a lot of information on him through the archaeological digs that have come up and mentioned his name and all his accomplishments. So Sennacherib has sent his general down there to threaten Jerusalem and Hezekiah. We read all through 36 of his threatenings and carrying on. So in chapter 37, it actually is a continuation of 36. Let's start in it now. And it came to pass when King Hezekiah heard it, that he rent his clothes, covered himself with sackcloth, and went into the house of the Lord. This was customary in that time when some great, grievous situation came upon the nation of Israel, that they would put on sackcloth and ashes. It was showing humility before God, and that they wanted God to pay attention to them, and they were putting off all the finery of the world and letting God know that we're focusing now on our relationship with you. This is an example that all of us should do in our lives. We should focus on our relationship with our Lord. The problem is that most of us all are human, and the only time that we will do it in this mode or to this degree is when we get in trouble. I could speak for experience in my own life. But that's what Hezekiah is doing. And he sent Eliakim, who was over the household, and Shebna the scribe, and the elders of the priests, covered with sackcloth, unto Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos. Now he sends his royal entourage, as you would call them, the influential people of Israel, in sackcloth, and he sends them to Isaiah, the old prophet. He's going to every avenue he can. He's gone to the temple. Now he's sending his emissaries to Isaiah. Tell us what God will give us an answer to. And they said unto him, thus saith Hezekiah, this day is a day of trouble. Boy, everybody knew it. They had conquered the 10 northern tribes. They had destroyed 40-something cities in Judea there. And everybody was shaking in their boots at the Assyrian Empire. This is a day of trouble and of rebuke and of blasphemy. For the children are come to the birth, and there is not strength to bring forth. We're just like a child that's getting, a woman that's getting ready to have a child, and she's right there, and she needs all the strength that she can get. You ladies that's been through that, you know what he's talking about. You men that have stood by and watched babies being born know what women are going through. At that time, you're sorry you caused that, aren't you? I was, 5 times. So I got punished a whole bunch. But this is what they're saying. Lord, we're here at a time of deliverance, and we're out of strength. We don't know what else to do. We don't have anywhere else to go. It may be the Lord thy God will hear the words of Rabshakeh, that's their general of the Assyrian army. Maybe the Lord will hear his words, the threatenings he's been doing, whom the king of Assyria, his master, has sent to reproach the living God. Now notice who they tell Isaiah. Listen, this general of Assyria, Rabshakeh, that's his title, general, he's down here making fun of you. And maybe, Lord, you're listening and you're hearing what he's saying. Reproach the living God and will reprove the words which the Lord thy God hath heard. Wherefore lift up thy prayer for the remnant that is left. Lord, Isaiah, please lift up to the Lord prayers for us that are left alone. Assyria has taken over the other 10 tribes. We're few in number left here, and we're under siege. Please listen to our prayer. So the servants of King Hezekiah came to Isaiah. Anybody have any questions so far on anything? Okay. And Isaiah said unto them, thus shall you say unto your master, thus saith the Lord, be not afraid of the words that thou hast heard, wherewith the servants of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me. Notice God makes a personal reply. He has blasphemed me. It's against me personally. Behold, I will send a blast upon him, and he shall hear a rumor. In other words, I'm going to spread a rumor among the Assyrians here. A blast means it's a rumor, somebody getting something started. God got this one started. And return to his own land, and I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own land. Don't worry about Sennacherib. I'm going to cause an issue to develop among the Syrians, a rumor. He's going to leave this area here. He's going to go back to his city, which he did do, history records. He went back there, and I believe it was 681 B.C. His own son assassinated him. So it's exactly what God said. Don't worry about him. I'll take care of him. Bennett.
Again, several people in his prayers.
Yeah.
Just like Daniel did, right. You know, he asked his three friends
right.
to pray in earnest.
Yes.
So it seems to be a lot of power in multitudes of people praying right. for the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah, the examples in the Old Testament and in the New Testament where the New Testament Christians gathered together to pray. There's power in prayer. If there's power in one person praying, you multiply that over and over again in multitude of prayers. And that's why we get together from time to time and we have prayer groups. That's what it's all about. It's God listening to your petitions, whatever it is. Or listening to the thanks that you should be giving Him. You know, God's not just somebody up there that we should always be saying, hey, gimme, gimme, gimme. I need. We should be in our prayers also. Part of our prayer should always be, thank you, Lord. You know, the so-called apostles' prayer, the Lord's prayer, it's really the apostles' prayer. Jesus already knew how to pray. He's teaching the apostles how to pray. And guess what? There's praise in there to God. You know, there's also a petition in there for your needs and the things that concern you. It's the whole gamut of the human realm that's in prayer. It's all of it. So just don't be one of these people that just says, God, give me. I'm in trouble. I need some help. You know, I remember many times in the Air Force flying, we would have an emergency, and I've told you all a few of the stories. I'm not going to tell them again, but we would get up there, and we wouldn't think we were going to survive the emergency that we were having. And boy, we'd all get in the cockpit and we'd pray, Lord, get us out of this thing. You know, we're going to do better. We're going to be better. Yeah, that lasted long enough to get off the ramp and get in the beer hall. That's the way people are. I was that way. I know. Been there. So Rabshakeh returned and found the king of Assyria warring against Libna, for he had heard that he was departed from Lachish. He had a battle going on there, and he left. Again, something caused him to leave. He heard saying concerning Tirkarah, king of Ethiopia, he has come forth to make war with thee. When he heard it, he sent messengers to Hezekiah, saying, thus shall you speak to Hezekiah, king of Judah, saying, let not thy God in whom thou trustest deceive thee, saying, Jerusalem shall not be given into the hand of the king of Assyria. Now what had happened was the king of Ethiopia had started a war with the Assyrian army and had drawn off some of his troops down there to fight that battle. Sennacherib did. And he had some other issues going in his empire. So he was trying to put down those fires. So he sent a message to Hezekiah and said, Hezekiah, okay, just because I'm having to take care of some other business right now, don't think I'm letting you off, okay? This God that you're trusting in is not going to alleviate you from me coming and taking over. So he's still letting him know, sending him a letter, you know, that guess what? It's kind of like, let me equate that to something that happens today, this year. Our leaders go over to Iran and they make a nuclear peace pact with Iran. Okay, they sign this document, and everybody up in Washington is saying this is such a great thing, and man, it's wonderful. And in less than 24 hours, thousands of Iranians are in the streets burning American flags and saying death to America. Same scenario, different people, different times, same issues. Behold, thou hast heard what the king of Assyria hath done to all the lands by destroying them utterly. And shalt thou be delivered? So he said, listen, all the lands around you that I've taken and destroyed, you know what I do to those people. Let me tell you, the Assyrians were extremely cruel. One of their things that they really like to do, this is very harsh, but I just want to give you an idea of what their mentality was. When they would capture a city or a town, they would take certain people in there and they would skin them alive and hang their skins on the city wall. There were many towns that before Assyria would take, the people knowing how cruel they were would commit mass suicide. This is how bad the Assyrians were. And this is the warning that they're giving Hezekiah. So Get your mind set on that. Have the gods of the nations delivered them which my fathers have destroyed, as Gozan, Haran, Rebzah, and the children of Eden, which are in Telassar? He said, think about all these nations around you that I've destroyed. Did their gods help them? Their palaces are gone. Their temples are destroyed. I've destroyed their idols. None of them helped them. Where is the king of Hamath, the king of Asprod, and the king of the city of Seravaim, Hena, and Iva? Where's all their kings? Where's all their gods? They're gone. I destroyed them, is what he says. And Hezekiah received the letter from the hand of the messengers. He read it. And Hezekiah went up unto the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. Now, he did the right thing. Here's this letter of threatening from this pagan king about all his accomplishments, all he did, and all what he's going to do to Jerusalem when he takes capture of it. So Hezekiah reads it, and he takes it to God. He takes his petition, spreads it out. Lord, here's this man's letter. Why don't you take a look at what he's saying? You know, that's what we should do today in our lives with issues and things that come up in our lives. We ought to take it to the Lord. I don't know how many of you all have ever literally done something like this, but it's not a bad idea to get back there in the darkness of your room somewhere. And if you've got a letter like that that's broken your heart, and some of you have gotten them, we have, and just take that letter and lay it out and say, Lord, let me show you what this thing says, okay? Please read it with me. Take account of it. I need some answers. That's what Hezekiah did. It's an example that we should follow. And Hezekiah prayed, verse 15, unto the Lord, saying, O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, that dwellest between the cherubims, and art the God, even thou alone, of all the kingdoms of all the earth, thou hast made heaven and earth. Hezekiah, first of all, recognizes God for whom he really is, the creator and sustainer of everything on this earth, human, animal, everything. You know, today you're listening to all this rhetoric that's going on about how did the earth come into being? How did this happen, the Big Bang Theory? And you come from some slime out in a swamp somewhere, on and on and on, a bunch of silly garbage, I call it. It's exactly what I call it. Not honoring the God of the universe, the creator, sustainer of our lives. But this is exactly what's going on today in our society. Incline thine ear, O Lord, and hear. Open thine eyes, O Lord, and see. And hear all the words of Sennacherib, which has sent to reproach to the living God. Hezekiah says, Lord, I want you to please be sure you see all this letter says. I want you to hear what this man is saying about you. And I want you to pay close attention to it, to what he's doing, and the affront that he's giving to the living God. I want you to pay attention to that. Today, what are we seeing today? Affronts to the living God? I mean, there are things going on desecrating the image of God today, speaking about it, art, I'm not even going to get into that part of it. It's so crude, I wouldn't even describe it to you. Most of you know what I'm talking about. Hollywood and on and on and on, desecrating God and His name. Now, God didn't put up with it in the Old Testament, and He's not going to put up with it in these times. So the people that are doing that, they just need to count their time because judgment is coming on them. And it won't be very nice when it happens. Any questions so far? Anybody? Okay. Verse 18. Of a truth, Lord, the kings of Assyria have laid waste all the nations and their countries. Hezekiah says, Lord, I'm not living in a fantasy world. I know what he's done to these other countries. I've seen it. We know all about it. And so I'm not trying to hide that. Is this thing looking bad? Yeah, we got a bad situation on our hands. And have cast their gods into the fire, for they were no gods, We know all these idols and things. They're really behind that worship. Paul says they are demons. But these are representatives of what these people worship, which are actually demons. They don't think they're demons. They are in the spirit realm. But he says they took these idols here and everything that they put their trust in, what man had made, they were trusting to deliver them, and he's destroyed them. He's burned them in fires. He's smashed them to pieces. I know that. But the work of man's hands, wood and stone, therefore they have destroyed them. Now therefore, O Lord our God, save us from his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord, thou only. He said, God, save us from this evil man. Not because of anything we've done good or any great person that we are or to honor us among the nations, but to lift up your name. You're the one that should be lifted up and honored. You know, in our day and time right now, this country should be on its knees. It should be thanking God for the blessings it's got, and it should be honoring him, not us, not our human achievements that we have made, though they've been great. He's the one that gave them to us, and we should be doing this today, honoring him before all the nations of the world. But what are we doing? Just the opposite. We're dishonoring him. We're outlawing him, outlawing his word. This is what we are doing, and the nations take heed to that too. What happened to America? You know, after the Revolutionary War, the French were a good part of helping us during the Revolutionary War. They sent an ambassador over here after the Revolutionary War was over. And the French government asked him, said, what we want you to do is go through this America over there today, and we want you to find out what is the secret, what is the key to this country. They just got through defeating the most powerful nation on the face of the earth with a bunch of ragtag farmers and merchants. Now, what's going on in America that's different? And he spent several years touring this country. When he went back to France and he reported to the leaders of France, he said, here's the secret of America. The secret is in their churches. He said those people believe in God. They use the Bible. They pay attention to its precepts, and they honor the God of this Bible. That's the secret to America. But he went on to say this. He said, if ever in the future they get away from that, he said, they'll go down in history just like every other nation. And this was in the 1700s that this happened. Then Isaiah, verse 21. Isaiah the son of Amos sent to Hezekiah, saying, thus saith the Lord of Israel, whereas thou hast prayed to me against Sennacherib, king of Assyria, this is the word which the Lord has spoken concerning him. Well, Hezekiah, you've asked for an answer from God. He has given me an answer, and here it is. The virgin of the daughter of Zion hath despised thee and laughed thee to scorn. The daughter of Jerusalem hath shaken her head at thee. This is a reference to Hezekiah and his leadership and Jerusalem making fun of Sennacherib as like a young girl would, making fun of him. Whom hast thou reproached and blasphemed? And against whom hast thou exalted thy voice and lifted up thine eyes on high? Against the Holy One of Israel. Sennacherib, your affront and your letter and your threatenings really don't come directly to me as Hezekiah. What you're really doing is you're making that affront to our God, our living God. That's who you're making an affront to. Now, you can do it to me. I'm a man. You know, that's one thing. But when you do it to the living God of Israel, you've done something else. It's just like one of the Jewish people being put on the trains going to one of the concentration camps during World War II. He made this statement to a German officer. He said, what you're doing is, he said, you are poking your finger in God's eye. And he said, you will pay for it. The Nazi soldier officer lived through the war. And he came out later on. He said, this was the statement made to me by a Jew. Of course, the Bible declares, you know, that if you go against Israel, you're poking your finger in God's eye. That's exactly what it's doing. And that does get your attention. It gets God's attention. Just like the people today who are poking fun at Israel. By thy servants hast thou reproached the Lord, and hast said, by the multitude of my chariots am I come up to the height of the mountains, to the sides of Lebanon. I will cut down the tall cedars thereof, and the choice fir trees thereof, and I will enter into the height of his border, and the forest of his Carmel. He said, I don't care what's in the way, I'm gonna cut it down, and I'm gonna get to you, Jerusalem. Doesn't matter about the forest or the mountains or what. I'm going to get to you any way I can. I have digged and drunk water. With the sole of my feet have I dried up all the rivers of the besieged places. They tried to stop me with rivers. Didn't do any good. Sennacherib said, hey, I came on anyhow. Nothing has stopped me so far in doing what I want to do. Hast thou not heard long ago how I have done it, and of ancient times that I have formed it? How I have brought it to pass that thou shouldest be to lay waste the fenced city into ruinous heaps. Therefore, their inhabitants were of small power. They had a little small power against you, Sennacherib. This is God talking now. He said, listen, all this stuff that you're doing, that you're bragging about, God said, I knew you were going to do it long before you were even born. I've permitted you to do it. You think you're doing it in your power? You're not. You're doing it because I let you do it. And these cities had small power. They couldn't defend themselves. They were dismayed and confounded. And they were as the grass of the field, and as the green herb and the grass of the housetops, and as corn blasted or withered here before it was grown up. Yeah, all these nations succumbed to you because I allowed it. You didn't do it in your power and in your strength. But I know thy abode here, or how you're living, and thy going out, thy coming in, and thy rage against me. God says, listen, Sennacherib, you're not telling me anything I don't already know. I know when you get up. I know when you go out. I know when you lay down. I know when you sleep. I know when you're awake. I know everything about you. You're not a surprise to me. And I know also that you're raging against me personally. You know, again, I say these people today in this world that are raging against God's principles and against Him. And I mean, America is getting full of it. It's getting worse every week. Somebody every week is doing something more and more and more of an affront to God's Word and His principles. 10 years ago, I wouldn't believe what I see today. But they're doing it. And they're shaking their fists in God's face. Because thy rage against me and thy tumult is come up unto my ears, therefore will I put my hook in thy nose and my bridle in thy lips, and I will turn thee back by the way by which thou camest. The way you came down to threaten Jerusalem, Sennacherib, I know everything about you. I know every detail of you. And guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to bring you, I'm going to put hooks in your nose. I don't know how many of you, you know that. That used to be a custom in getting slaves in Africa. You take a hook and put it in a man's nose, and then you can lead him anywhere you want to. You see the ropes around the necks? That's nothing compared to a hook in a nose. And this is what they actually did with their slaves in those days. And this God said, this is what I'm going to do to you. I'm going to give you the ultimate pulling power on your nose. You'll follow where I send you, and I'm going to take you back where you came from. And this shall be a sign unto thee. Ye shall eat this year which is groweth of itself. Now, Isaiah tells Hezekiah, here's the sign God's going to give you so that you can trust what he says. He said, this coming year here, you'll eat what is voluntary. Now, remember, they're surrounded in Jerusalem. You'll eat what's voluntary food that's going to come up. The second year, that which springeth of the same. In other words, the second year, you're going to eat voluntary food too that comes out of the ground. You can't plow. You can't plant fields because the Assyrians are out there. The second year, you're also going to eat volunteer food. Now, the third year, sow you and reap and plant vineyards and eat the fruit thereof. God says in the third year, the Assyrians will be gone. You can go back to your farms, to your vineyards, to all your villages, and you can grow your normal crops. So Isaiah has given him a timetable. 2 years you're going to be under it. Third year you'll be out free. And the remnant that is escaped of the house of Judah shall again take root downward and bear fruit thereof. What of you that are left are going to get back out there and go to your normal activities. Sennacherib is not going to be a threat. For out of Jerusalem shall go forth a remnant, and they shall escape out of Mount Zion, that's Jerusalem, and the zeal of the Lord of hosts shall do this. God says, in my power, I'm going to accomplish this. Therefore, thus saith the Lord concerning the king of Assyria, he shall not come into this city, nor shoot an arrow there, nor come before it with shields, nor cast a bank against it. He said he can bring his war. There'll be no war engines up here. There'll be no ramps built up against the walls like the Romans did at Masada so that troops could enter in over the walls. He said nothing's going to happen. He's not even going to shoot an arrow at Jerusalem. By the way that he came, by the same shall he return, and shall not come into this city, saith the Lord. A solid, fine declaration. God says, Assyria will not take this city, Jerusalem. For I will defend this city to save it for mine own sake. Notice what he says. I'm not saving it for your sake. I'm saving it for my sake and for my servant David's sake. He has a special thing with David, always has, always will. And by the way, there are scriptures in the Old Testament that says that David will serve as king under the Lord in Jerusalem during the millennial reign. So anyway, there's something special about David, always has been. Even though he committed sin, he asked forgiveness, and God still holds a special place for him. So he said, for his sake, God's sake, for my glory, for my honor, I'm going to save Jerusalem. Then the angel of the Lord went forth and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. That's 185,000 soldiers. And when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. Now this is recorded elsewhere. It's not recorded in history. The last 6 years of Sennacherib's reign, we have no historical record of. Yet always the ones we have found recount his great achievements and wars. But when it gets to his defeat, guess what? They don't talk anything about it. But the Bible does. So he was 185,000 of his troops were found dead the next morning. He packs his bags up and he leaves and never comes back ever again against Jerusalem. He goes back to his home. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed, went and returned and dwelt in Nineveh. And it came to pass, as he was worshiping in the house of Nisroch, his god, another pagan god, he had his own, that Adrammelech and Shalazar, his son, smote him with the sword. They escaped into the land of Armenia, and his son reigned in his stead. Now that's exactly what happened around 681 B.C. He went back to Nineveh, worshiping in his false temple god there, and his own son comes in and assassinates him. And by the way, these other sons, they got into a civil war and rebellion, just to give you a little bit of history, and they went off to another country to set up another rebellion against their brother. That's what really happened in secular history. So that was the end of Sennacherib. He went his way. God judged him, and by the hand of his own sons, he was murdered. Anybody have any questions or comments? Okay. Next week, Lord willing, I will bring that lesson on that book, and I will bring you all some of those books. I think if you know of anybody that's lost a loved one close and had a real struggle, I hear this all the time with dealing with God about the death of a loved one close by. Invite them. I'd love to have them here. I think they would hear a word of encouragement, and it may help them get through this. I deal with a lot of people that have had these issues, getting mad at God. And so it's a good thing for them to hear the story of somebody who's had that and has overcome it. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you for this lesson today. Thank you, Lord, that it lifts you up, that we know that when men rail against you, Lord, that you are listening and you are paying attention. And they should be on their knees. Let each one of us realize that, Lord, as we go through life, the times that we go through, the trials, that, Lord, that we need to put them in your hands and ask you to hear our petitions and our prayers. Thank you for being there for us. Lord, thank you for this weekend. We do ask your special blessing upon the families of the soldiers who have died, Lord, for the freedom of our nation. Help us to honor them each and every day that we live. And Lord, help us to live for you and honor and glorify you every day that you give us breath. In Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen. Y'all have a great week, and call me if you need me.